The next case I selected is the Lyles case. And it deals with a conflict between a solar developer and an oil and gas developer. You have to kind of recall the Lightning versus Anadarko opinion back in 2017, when the Supreme Court of Texas held that the surface owner of Black Acre that was burdened by an oil and gas lease to Lightning could authorize Anadarko, the oil and gas lessee of a neighboring wildlife refuge, I'll call it Green Acre, could drill a well from a location on the Black Acre surface directionally into the Green Acre surface. And Lightning, the lessee of Black Acre, was unhappy with that. So the case went to the Supreme Court. And what the Supreme Court did was they decided that Anadarko could drill the well, and that if some future conflict arose, then the oil companies would resolve the matter through the accommodation doctrine. And because Anadarko was using the surface with the permission of the surface owner, Anadarko would be treated as the surface owner for purposes of the accommodation doctrine. The court reasoned in this case that that Lightning's argument that the surface owner could not grant Anadarko permission would render the mineral estate absolutely dominant. We declined the invitation to alter oil and gas law in such a drastic manner. That's a quote from the Supreme Court decision. So based on what the Supreme Court said in Lightning, I think the Lyles reasoning seems correct to me. If renewable and petroleum development conflicts become significant, and they certainly could in the case of solar, perhaps the legislature may need to broaden the operation of Chapter 92 of the Natural Resources Code to include such conflicts. But of course, this would require substantial amendments, including the population threshold. Under 92.004 of the code, a real estate developer can seek railroad commission permission to confirm the adequacy of locations that are left for petroleum operations and other associated facilities. And so I suppose you could amend that statute and have it resolved in a sort of a regulatory manner. North Dakota, by the way, has a similar statute, although it's expressly designed to resolve the conflict between oil and gas operators and coal miners. And it's, again, a regulatory solution, not a real property priority solution. To my knowledge, though, the North Dakota law has never actually been utilized. And this, by the way, is the solar panels, and the solar developer did leave the areas at both ends of this tract for potential future petroleum operations. What's interesting, I think, about the Lyles case is, I'm not certain that that would have even been necessary to do. Maybe in the future, if someone wanted to drill a well, they'd have to tear down or move some of the solar panels. But in any event, that gives you kind of an aerial view of the case. There was another aspect of the case. The mineral owner tried to argue that the severance document precluded application of the accommodation doctrine. And they relied on this old Landreth case that did in fact recognize that severance documents could be specific enough to preclude consideration of the accommodation doctrine. But the Lyles court, although the language was somewhat similar, rejected the argument that this language modified the accommodation doctrine. There was also some waivers that landowners had signed. They inadvertently perhaps included land that they didn't own. And when there was a reform deed filed, they didn't, these landowners that didn't own an interest did not execute that reform deed, and the court found that that was faulty. It's based on this statute, this correction deed statute, that I think title examiners are very concerned about, and we're getting some case law now that is refining that law a bit, probably for the better. Then I thought we should today have a moment of silence in memory of the venerable rule against perpetuities that may have met its demise in May of 2020, at least in Texas. The birth date here is basically questionable. Some would say it was 1677, but it's based on the Duke of Norfolk decision that gave rise to the rule against perpetuities. And if it's not dead in Texas, I mean, it may be on life support. Now, you may recall the old Duke of Norfolk case. Howard was the Duke of Norfolk, and he had a problem because he had an eldest son who would have been entitled to inherit under the rules of primogeniture, but the eldest son was insane. And he was concerned about that. He didn't want to completely disinherit the son, but what he did was he created a long-term estate plan.